Today was a trying day. Everything went well until I woke up this afternoon. And I went in and began to study to get my message for tonight and get things lined out, make sure everything's in good shape, got it all ready, and hit the button on the computer to print, and nothing happened at the printer. I mean, just nothing happened. And with my infinite computer skills, I went into the computer trying to figure out what's wrong, and I was afraid to do what it said to do because I figure if I do that, the whole thing will start smoking. And so I couldn't print out my notes, and while I'm in the midst of that, my phone rings. It's my wife. She was having a difficulty, and she needed to help. She said, she asked me, I'm on the phone with her. And she says, call my phone. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to do that? I'm on the phone with you right now, all right? And so we finally worked that out, and I figured out what she meant was after I hang up, okay? Look, I don't know about you guys, but my wife and I have trouble communicating sometimes, all right? And if you don't have trouble communicating with your wife, I figure you got a problem, all right? But man, I try to figure out, what she's talking about. And so I found her phone, and okay, I got that. And no time later, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do about my sermon notes. And so the phone rings again, and she's calling me again. And she's using, obviously, somebody else's phone, and she calls me and she says, I need you to get on my phone and find this person's number and call them. And so I tried to do that. That didn't work. And called her back and said they didn't answer and all that business. And so, make a long story short, instead of having my normal notes, here they are, all right? So, I mean, I just scratched them down real quick before I left. And then I'm on the way to church tonight, and I realize I made that deal for you today, and it's sitting on my desk at home, all right? I thought, I'm going to bring it tonight. Yep, there it is. It's at home. So it's been a tough time. So I don't have good notes. Let's pray and go home, all right? Proverbs 25, if you will. Proverbs chapter 25. I want to read one verse here and speak to you a little bit tonight. The Bible in Proverbs chapter 25, down in verse 25, we find this verse, all right? Proverbs 25:25. I'll give you a moment to get there. I should, I guess, call this out earlier, but I like to see people going trying to find it. Proverbs 25, verse 25, all right? Notice what the Bible said. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Far country. A thirsty soul. I'll be real honest, I don't think I ever thought much about being thirsty and gave it much consideration until I was in the ninth grade. I was in the ninth grade at Carter Riverside High School over in Riverside section of Fort Worth, and I was in English class, and Mrs. Miller was my teacher. Miss Miller, she wasn't married. Miss Miller was the teacher, and we were in those shacks. Now, that's what they call portable classrooms now. But I'll tell you, in my day, they were shacks, okay? They were made out of wood, and they had been hauled in and after being used for 300 years somewhere else, and they were brought in, put down, and there they were. There was no... I look back on my high school years, actually all my school years, I never went to a school that was air-conditioned. Never went to a school that was air-conditioned. I drive by the school where I graduated from now, and it's all air-conditioned. And I'm thinking, how did they do that? No wonder kids are so soft nowadays, you know? But, I mean, it was in the spring of the year, and the days were already warm. We're meeting in those shacks, and it was hot. And we were studying that magnificent piece of English literature, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And I know you remember it too because you studied it, all right? And it stands out in your mind. Well, it stands out in my mind too because it had these words in it. It had these words. And I was in English class in the afternoon. Now, remind you, I never liked English. I especially hated English literature because what they considered to be good literature, I figured was a waste of time, all right? But there we are, and we were studying. It had these words in it, water, water, everywhere. And all the boards did shrink. Water, water, everywhere, nor any drop to drink. And I don't know what was wrong with Coleridge. They said he had some mental issues. And I thought, did he ever? Because I read the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And we were tortured with that poem for, probably, it seems like a month, but I'm sure it's just a few days. And every day you get in there, and those words appeared more often. I really think it was every other stanza, it seems like, you know. And I'm sitting in that classroom going, sure would like a drink. And we keep hearing those words over and over again. And but got to thinking about that when I was thinking about this scripture tonight. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, nothing like water when you're thirsty. Nothing like water when you're thirsty. But notice it talks about also, so is good news from a far country. There's not nothing like good news. Nothing like good news. Now, I'll be honest with you. The good news in the Bible is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news. Now, I want to talk to you about water and the thirsty man just for a little bit tonight. Number one, I want you to see this. Men need water before they need food. Men need water before they need food in order to stay alive. You can live a long time without anything to eat. All right? Now, I didn't mean you'd live good, but you can live a long time without anything to eat. But you have to have water. You have to have that. Your body is mostly liquid, all right? If they took you and squeezed all the juice out of you, there wouldn't be much left, all right? There wouldn't be. That's why my grandpa, who was a big fella, my cousin one time said, "Grandpa, you're not fat, you're just waterlogged." And so maybe that's what it was, I don't know. But you cannot do without that water. You've got to have it. It is just something you have. It's a necessity. You can go, you can go days without eating. You can go weeks without eating. But you have to have that water. You have to have that. It's essential for life. Well, my friend, so is the gospel. So is the gospel. Take your Bible over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. I want you to notice what the Bible says, okay? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ inspired, and our God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words in Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Hey, it's the power of God, that gospel is. Look in chapter 10 of Romans, all right? Romans chapter 10, just a little bit further over there. Look down in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." The gospel of peace. "And bring glad tidings of good things." It is the gospel. Folks, the gospel is absolutely essential to eternal life, all right? It's essential. If you're here tonight and you possess eternal life, you possess eternal life because at some point back yonder in your life, you heard, you understood, you accepted the gospel. You're not saved apart from that gospel, all right? It is a necessity. The gospel is absolutely a necessity. Cannot do without it. The thirsty man can't do without water. Hey, the lost man can't do without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those two go together. They're just a necessity. That's why as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh, we need that good news. Second thing I want you to see this is when a man's really thirsty, only water will do. Now, somebody said, no, I drink Gatorade. or I drink Powerade, or I drink whatever. I'll tell you, when you get to the point where you're really thirsty, the only thing that's going to help you is water. You've just got to have it. There are times when I'll be at home and be drinking water, and are you like me? There's times where, man, it just tastes so good. It is just so good. You said, how did it taste? Well, it tastes like water. All right, it just tastes like water. But, I mean, there's nothing like it. And, man, I can drink a glass of it, go back, fill another one up, get it iced down, get it cold, drink another one, and just can't seem to get enough of it. Why? That's what I want. And you say, well, I'll drink a Coke, or I'll drink a Dr. Pepper, or a root beer, or Mountain Dew, or whatever. Yeah, and those things, if you're not careful, they make you thirsty. They make you thirsty. They're not a cure for it. They will make you thirsty, increase it. So only water will do. By the same token, my friend, don't tell you what, only the gospel of Jesus Christ will do. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're there in the New Testament. Just turn a little further over to the book of Galatians, would you? Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, look down to verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul made it real plain here. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if anybody comes with you anything else other than that, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Hey, there is no other way of salvation. There is no other way of salvation. So don't you buy into that deal that there's other ways. You see, that goes to the next point, if you will, in the message tonight. Some appearances of water are not really water. Some appearances of water are just simply mirages. Now, I mean, they're not. You get out, you know, and you travel the desert. It's my understanding people sometimes see and it looks like water. But it's not. It's a mirage. It's fake. Makes you think it is. And people can be chasing that water and they'll never find it. Just never get there. Men get led astray by what seems to be water. Men get led astray in our day by what seems to be the gospel. Seem to be the gospel. Now, I wouldn't be worth a flip in the desert. I don't have experience in the desert. I've been across the desert here and there. My brother and I, we've been through Death Valley. If that's not desert, it's close as I want to be, all right? Man, it is desolate country, and it's dry and all of that that goes with it. But a man that knows the desert can spot a mirage, and he can tell it. Oh, that. And you'd say, well, look, there's water over there. And no, that's a mirage. Now, they know the desert. They know the desert. I want to say this to you by the same token. People that know the Bible can spot a false gospel. If you know the Bible, you can spot a false gospel. That's why we encourage you, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Keep reading that book. Because if you'll read that book, you can spot that which is false. I don't mind telling you, Mormonism has a false gospel. False gospel. Now, if you read your Bible, you know it's false. You know it's false, all right? The Jehovah's Witness have a false gospel. False gospel. A lot of the charismatic crowd has a false gospel. The Muslims, the Hindus, we go on and on and on down the line. They got a false gospel. They've got a false assurance of eternal happiness, and you'll be okay. It's a false gospel. You sometimes hear the false gospel taught in a lot of different ways. Years ago, I remember our president making the statement that all religions, you know, we may have different names, but it's for the same God. Well, he didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know what he was talking about. He needs to stick to politics. He's a good politician, but he doesn't know the Bible. All right? He doesn't know the Bible. You can spot that false gospel if you know your Bible. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid that somebody come along, I'd be deceived. Well, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn what it says. The more you learn, the more you read, the better off you're equipped to handle the falseness that's taught, okay? And by the way, it is not necessary for you to go and learn every false thing that every false religion teaches for you to be able to recognize the falsehood there. Just like if you are looking for counterfeit money, you don't handle every counterfeit money. You just learn to handle the real thing. The real thing. Because counterfeit money feels different than your money, all right? Unless your money's counterfeit, okay? But if your money's real, it feels different. It feels different. One time I got a hold of a counterfeit $20 bill. My brother had printed some up, and they were really quality job. Now, he didn't print them, but we got a counterfeit money that was came across, and we was at the bank with it, and they said, this is counterfeit. We said, huh? You know, we were trying to put it in the bank and trying to increase. I thought, well, I'm going to just close my press down then. So we took it in, and it was counterfeit, you know. And they said, here, feel of it right here. And they said, now feel of another one. Man, it felt totally different. Totally different. Hey, you can spot the fake if you know the real. If you know the real thing. Sometimes water appears to be, but it's not what it appears to be, all right? You need to know your Bible. Now, I'll add this. Number four, some water's poison. Take your Bible over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, it's relatively easy to find. It's only the second book in the Bible, okay? Exodus chapter 15, and if you'll look there in your Bible, well, just look at one verse. The nation of Israel was in the wilderness. They were traveling. And in verse 22, the end of that verse says they found no water. They found no water. But verse 23 of Exodus 15 says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, here was bitter water. Could not drink of it because it was bitter. Sometimes water is not only bitter, but it's poisonous. You can drink it, but if you do, it'll kill you, all right? And you have to be aware of that. Man used to, in days gone by, those that would travel, for instance, the Oregon Trail and those going to California, a lot of those people died because they drank tainted water. And it gave them typhoid, and man, it just ate them up, killed them. Why? That water was poison, all right? It was poisonous water. There's no good news. Why? Because there's so many counterfeit gospels out there. And when you get to that, it can mean spiritual death. You drink of that counterfeit water, and it can bring spiritual death. There is a doctrine that has become very popular in this day, in the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism, that is bringing about the death of a lot of churches and a spiritual death to people, the teaching that God's predestinated before the foundation of the world, those that would be saved and those that would not be saved. And if you are not chosen to be saved, no matter what you do, you will go to hell. All right? And that is the doctrine that is put out. And, man, it's having a wide influence in a lot of churches. A lot of people are swallowing that. Hey, listen, that's a false gospel. It is not true, okay? Yes, our Bible does use the word predestinated, but it's not predestinated for heaven or hell, okay? That's not what it says. If you just read what it says instead of trying to put man's twist on it. Now, I've got some kinfolks that are in a church, and that's what their church believes very strongly in that doctrine, and they are primitive Baptist, and I'm not accusing every primitive Baptist. I don't know that they all believe this, but the particular variety some of my kinfolks are in, that's what they believe. And if you're not among the elect, then you're out of luck. Well, my comment to them is, I hope you are in the elect. I want to say this to you, with that doctrine, there is no assurance of salvation. There is no assurance. Well, yeah, I know I'm among the elect. How do? Were you there when the election took place? It was before the foundation of the world, according to what you say. You weren't there. Well, I believe that, and I know that. Wait a minute. Be careful. Be careful. So I'm telling you, there's no assurance of salvation under that doctrine. Well, I'm glad that's not what the Bible tells. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible over and over and over again says, whosoever will. Whosoever. I like that word, whosoever. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Whosoever. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he wept over Jerusalem, he said, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen would gather her chicks, but ye would not, not could not, would not. Wasn't it you couldn't come, you didn't come, all right? Now, they teach a limited atonement, that the death of Jesus Christ was not sufficient to pay for the sin of all of mankind. I don't believe that one bit in the world. I don't believe that in the world. I heard a fellow who was a Calvinist talking about this, and he said, well, my Savior was not a failure. And if he had died for the sins of the world and everybody didn't get saved, that means he's a failure. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Hey, the fact that you failed to avail yourself of a free gift isn't the giver's fault. It's you. It's you, all right? You just didn't accept that free gift that was offered. You have that option. You can receive it or you can leave it alone, all right? Hey, you mark it down, some water's poison. You need to stay away from it, all right? Now, the fifth thing I want you to see, this is great. This is really deep. You got to stay with me or you won't grasp it, all right? Water must be received to slake your thirst. Pretty deep thought, isn't it? Water must be received to slake your thirst. It's not enough to have water at hand. Can I tell you this? You can have water in the glass and the glass in your hand. But if you never put it to your lips, tilt your head back and drink the water, you're still going to be thirsty. Still going to be thirsty. Water just has to be received. You've got to take it. You've got to avail yourself of it. There are accounts of ships that were sunk in World War II. One of them was the USS Houston that was sunk, and it had carried the makings for the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. And after it left, it was on the way back, and it got hit by a torpedo, and the torpedo really caused the ship to break in two while it was steaming along, and so it broke in two, and man, it just dove itself underwater. And I mean, it sank so fast, they couldn't send out a distress call. They couldn't put out any SOS. They couldn't tell anybody where they were. And guys just grabbing anything they could to hang on to. So here they are floating in the ocean. And they floated for days until literally their life jackets became so soggy with water, some of them were sinking, all right? And it's a long story. Won't go into all of that, but I'll say this. They were there so long they got thirsty. They're in the biggest body of water in the world, but they couldn't drink that water because if they did drink it, they wound up dead. All right? They couldn't drink it. Now, when the rain would fall, they were in the South Pacific, and squalls would come by, and so, man, you sat there with your mouth open up to the sky. Hey, they didn't have that water. But if you do have water nearby, it won't do a thing for your thirst unless you receive it. Unless you receive that water. I want you to take your Bible to John chapter 1, all right? John chapter 1, we're talking about as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is that good news from a far country. And we're talking about that good news of the gospel. It has to be received to do anybody any good. John chapter 1, if you would. Look down in verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. Next verse. But as many as what? received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. All right? Hey, look, the gospel's there. It's available. It gets preached. And it's there. It's good news. Doesn't do any good unless you receive it. Doesn't do any good unless you receive it. When I was a kid, I got saved when I was 9 years old. And I was mentioned this morning in church, Sunday school, I started going to church when I was that long. I'm 2 weeks old, went to church, been going to church ever since. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special services, anything else, I was there, all right? Now, when I was a kid, I was there because my parents said, you're going to be there. I'm there now. He said, well, because you're a preacher. No, because I love being in the house of God. I just love being in the house of God. So I go and I've been there, but as a kid, 9 years old, I heard the gospel, but I didn't receive it. I didn't receive it. First time I heard it and understood it, I didn't receive it. It wasn't that I said, you're lying. No, I believed it. That's it. It comes from the Bible, and what you're teaching is true, what you're preaching is true, but I didn't receive it. And I was lost, I believe, with all my heart. Had I died like that, I'd have went to hell. He said, you're just a kid. But I was a kid that heard the gospel and understood the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. Knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. He said, what bad thing could you have possibly done? See, there's our problem. We think you got to do something that the world thinks is bad. Hey, all sin is bad. All sin is bad. Now, some affects you more than others, but all sin is bad, okay? And all have sinned. So I was a sinner, a 9-year-old boy, sinner, lost, knew I was lost, but I didn't receive the gospel. But when I did receive it, now, it's not so much I didn't believe it, but I didn't receive it. When I did receive it, the Lord saved my soul. And you know what I found out? There's nothing like water to slake your thirst. I found out that real gospel satisfies. Man, it brought satisfaction. I mean, what a satisfying. And since it's priceless, God says it's free. It's free. Ever think about that? Now, how would you pay for it? Some people today think, well, I'll earn it. You've got to be kidding. You can't. You couldn't in a million years. You couldn't if you worked and worked and God allowed you to live and have your health for 200, 300, 400 years. You couldn't earn one day in heaven. Couldn't do it. That's why he gave it to you. It's free. But it has to be received. Has to be. You've got to receive it. You've got to take it. You've got to accept it. You've got to accept it. I illustrate this a lot of times when I'm witnessing to people. I usually try to make sure I've got a quarter, and I'll hold it in my hand, and I'll say, whose quarter is that? And they'll say, well, it's yours. I said, yep, but I want to give it to you as a free gift. And, of course, people are just overwhelmed. You want to give me a whole quarter? No, they're not. But I'll offer that. And talk to them a little bit about it. I'll say, okay, would you accept it from me as a free gift? And a lot of times I'll say, yeah. I say, okay, when's it going to be yours? And they say, well, when you give it to me. I said, well, there it is. I'll give it to you. There it is. You can have it. And finally, I get it. And they figure it out. The light comes on. And their hand, they'll reach and they'll take it. I say, now whose quarter is it? They say, well, it's mine. I said, yep. Why? Because you received it. You received it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the free gift of salvation, the accepting of the gospel. You've got to receive it. You've got to receive it. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say they got saved because they took my quarter, okay? That was an illustration of the truth, all right? But, man, we find out if we will receive it. If you'll receive it, it satisfies that thirst for salvation. It satisfies that. Now, I'm going to tell you, since then, I've been thirsty to know him more, but I've not been thirsty to have the gift of salvation. It satisfied that thirst, all right? Satisfied that thirst. Now, almost done. A thirsty man at a well still needs a rope and a bucket, all right? Thirsty man at a well still needs a rope and a bucket. Now, It's hard for us to grasp today because we're not used to wells like that. My greatest illustration I can give to you, my grandpa's house, when I was a kid, they still drew water out of the well. I can remember when they would, if they wanted water in the house, they had to go out and get it out of the well. And later on, my uncle and my dad built them a new house, and they actually had indoor plumbing. That was a blessing, okay? But I remember when they'd go and had the rope and the bucket, and there was the water. Now, you could stand there as a little boy. I could barely stand and see over the wall around the well, and I could see the water. But I'll tell you this, if it hadn't been a rope and a bucket, it'd water do me no good. No good. You say, well, I was thirsty. Well, don't matter. Because you say, well, I'll just jump in the well. Go ahead. Man, you're going to be in trouble now. You got all the water you can drink, but you can't get out of the well, all right? Hey, I'll tell you this, all right? Thirsty man at the well still needs a rope and a bucket. Look with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Tremendous account here of the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. What a wonderful, wonderful story. I never read it without getting excited, I'll be honest with you. And look, if you will, down in verse 27. Verse 27, the Bible said, and he arose and went, that he is Philip, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I'm going to tell you, he had the water in his hand, but he needed someone with a rope and a bucket. All right, he needed someone with a rope and a bucket. And he desired Philip, verse 31, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led to as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and said, figure it out yourself. That's the new version, all right? That's not what he said, all right? That is not what he said. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip provided the rope and the bucket. Philip provided the rope and the bucket. You go back to John chapter 4, there was a woman at the well, there at Jacob's well, and the Lord had already told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And the reason he did, he knew that woman was going to be there. And he knew there was a woman, and she came to that well, and the Lord began to talk to her, and he said, I'll give you living water. You know, if you drink of the water I give you. She said, wait a minute, you don't even have anything to draw the water with. You don't even have anything. You see, but the Lord Jesus Christ provided the rope and the bucket for that lady. He provided the rope and the bucket for that lady. I don't know what you may or may not think of Peter Ruckman. Peter Ruckman has testimony of salvation. I've heard him tell it of how, man, he was lost. He knew he was lost. He knew there was a problem. He was a religious man, but he was a lost religious man. And he was hunting. He stole a Bible. In his own testimony, he said, I was walking along and I looked in the window. There was a Bible there and on the table, and I reached in, took the Bible, took it home. He said, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd open it up and put my finger down, and he said, everywhere my finger landed, God just peeled my hide off. And he said, I'd get mad and I'd throw the Bible over in the corner and I'd leave it there for a while. But he said, later I'd be back at it. I'd open it again, put my finger down, and God just peeled my hide off. He said, the problem was, he said, I knew I was lost, and the Bible told me what a sorry individual I was and how I deserved hell, but he said, I didn't have anybody tell me how. But he said, I was at the radio station where I worked, and he said, there's a preacher there. A preacher by the name of Hugh Pyle had a radio program. And Hugh Powell preached that day, and he said, I was going out, and the preacher had just finished, and I spoke to him and said, how's it going? And the preacher said something along this line. He said, it's always going good if somebody knows the Lord. He said, never heard anybody. He said, it stopped me. Make a long story short, Hugh Powell became the rope in the bucket, opened the scriptures to Peter Ruckman, showed him how to get born again. Now, he was a thirsty man, but he needed somebody with a rope in the bucket, all right? Now, I'm going to say this to you. God's allowed us to be the rope in the bucket. God's allowed us to be the rope in the bucket. We have that truth, okay? We have it. We understand it. We understand it. Now, you don't understand everything about sanctification, justification, all that. I understand. But you don't have to understand all of that, but you understood what you did to get saved. You understand what you did to get saved. And what you did, what worked for you, will work for somebody else. I don't remember who I heard telling this, telling about this, but he said it took this fellow with him soul winning, and it may have been Jim Vineyard. I'm not sure. He said I just got saved, and this guy took me with him soul winning, and he said we were there, and he said now he was talking to this lost man in this. He told that lost man, this preacher pointed to Jim Vineyard and said, he wants to tell you how you got saved. And Jim Vineyard said, no, I didn't. I didn't want to tell him anything. I was there as the silent partner to listen. Had no desire to tell him anything. And he said, but a preacher put me under the gun. And so I said, okay, here's what you got to do to get saved. He said, first thing, get on your knees. Now, you don't have to be on your knees to get saved. But Jim Vineyard's testimony, he said, I knelt in the bed and by the bed in the motel room in Moline, Illinois. And he said, I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And he said, so I told that guy, get on your knees, all right? And the preacher didn't stop him. The guy got on his knees, and he showed him and told him how he needed to get saved. Hey, we're the rope in the bucket, all right? We're that. We have that opportunity to tell people that deal, all right? We have that opportunity, and we still, and I believe with all my heart, there's still some thirsty people. I still believe there's some thirsty people out there, all right? Folks that are looking for a drink. Folks that are looking for a drink. By the way, I believe they're all over the world. All over the world. Never forget going to Brother Vineyard's church up when he was still alive and up in Oklahoma City. And he talked about holding the ropes. Holding the ropes. God didn't call me to go to Africa. God didn't call me to go to Mexico. God didn't call me to go to Israel. But God called me to get the gospel to the world. By the way, God called you to do that. Now, sometimes all we can do is hold the ropes while somebody else goes. And that's what we do when we give to missions. That's what we do. We're holding the ropes so somebody else can go. That's exactly Brother Dunbar sitting here, missionary in Brazil. Somebody's held the ropes for him to be there. All right? Because he goes to Brazil, he can't get a job and go to work. Many, many of those countries that our missionaries in, it is illegal for them to work. So the only way they can be there is be there with somebody else. And oftentimes to get in the country, they've got to prove they have support to keep them there. Or they won't let them come in. So what we're doing, we're holding the ropes, all right? When I put that mission money in the offering plate, I'm holding the ropes. Holding the ropes, that's what we're doing, all right? Now somebody else got the bucket with the water, but we're holding the rope. But I just want to tell you something. While we're here, I'm talking about the good old USA, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, in Haltom City, Watauga, North Richland Hills, Fort Worth, Saginaw, you pick anywhere in the Metroplex, we've got the rope and the bucket. We've got the rope and the bucket. There's thirsty people. Oh, it's our job to get it to them. It's our job to get it to them. We're coming up on the season of the year. One of the two seasons of the year is the best time in Texas to witness. In the summer, it is hot, And I've been out witnessing, open my Bible, and sweat dripping on the New Testament. It's difficult, all right? But in the springtime, you say, well, preacher, it's windy. Good. You knock on the door. How you doing? I'm here testing hairspray. How's it look? You said, preacher, you wouldn't do that. I've done it. I've told people I'm testing hairspray. You know what they do? They did the same thing you did. They laughed. Good, I got them laughing. We're kind of headed in the right direction. I can talk to them a little bit now. Hey, best time of the year. One of the two best times of the year. You say, what's the other one? 2 weeks of fall that we have. All right? The 2 weeks of fall that we have. Coming up on best time of the year. We can give the gospel. We can go out. We can knock on doors. We can talk to people. All right? Next Sunday, if I'm right, is time change Sunday, right? Next Sunday, we move the clocks up an hour. That means the daylight lasts longer. That's good. And when it's nighttime, boy, and you knock on the door, people don't want to answer the door. But boy, when that light's there, they're not so skittish about it. These ring doorbells, sometimes I knock on the door, and I know somebody's in there. And with all this within me, I want to put my face down there and say, stinking coward, open the door! Hey, listen, God's given us the good news, all right? As thirsty waters, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Folks, we've got the good news. We've got the good news. We got the news the world needs to hear. I'm in favor of giving to missions, but I want you to know this. You can't take care of your obligation by just giving. By just putting money in the offering plate. Part of that obligation come to us. To go. He said, preacher, I never have done it. I want you to know it's not as difficult as you think. It's not as scary as you think. The problem is we hear the one episode that happened out of 3 million. And we think, well, that'll happen to me. No. Now, I've got some horror stories that have happened to members of our church. But I don't tell you, it's one out of thousands. And probably God to help you along, it wouldn't happen to you, okay? But I can tell you some hilarious things that have happened too. But not only that, I can tell you the great blessing of when you're able to go and find that one that's thirsty. You can take your New Testament. You can open it up. Should give him the gospel. Talk to him or her. Show them what they need to do. And boy, just to see the Holy Spirit work and see them bow their head and ask the Lord to save their soul, what a blessed time it is. There is nothing in life like it. I want to challenge you. We're coming into that time. Hey, we've got the water of life. We've got it. There are thirsty people. We just got to get the water to that thirsty soul. You said, don't know where they are. Go looking for them. We go look for them. And I hope you'll come. Love to have you come on Thursday evening. Say, if you can't do it on Thursday, pick another day. Pick another time. It's okay. Go. Just get out there. You say, well, I don't want to go by myself. Call me up. We'll go with you. We'll try to find time that's agreeable. We'll just get together and go. All right? Just to have that opportunity. We'll encourage you to do it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Speak to our